Okay, right before the break, we were talking about getting to know people. In all seriousness, this has been one of the biggest assets to me since I've been in ministry, was studying the personalities and learning the personality of a person, then how to approach that person, how to talk with that person. It's been a fun thing. It's been a humorous thing, but by the same token, it's also been a real learning experience. Is you don't approach everybody the same way, and some people you need to be very gentle with, and some people you just wade in there. I mean, they just I almost called a name. I'm glad I didn't, you know. But that's how you deal with them. You know, when they first speak to you, you think they're that's the most obnoxious person, or they're just real offensive or whatever. And in reality, that's not the case at all. It's just that's just how the environment they grew up in. And so you have to learn these things. People that grew up that have grown up in a different environment than you, probably you're going to have to learn some things about them in order to understand some things. It's not necessarily what a person says, but why did they say what they said, or why do they act the way they act, you know. And if you just bow your back immediately, you can actually misread things. And so we learn people. We observe people. I'm not talking about observing for critiquing. I'm talking about how they act, how they interact with people. You know, what's the best way to approach that person? This is real important when you don't want to offend someone. You with me? And none of us should want to offend someone else. So you have to be cautious with this. And honestly, you learn more listening than you do talking. And so when you get around people, if you just listen and just observe, let them do the talking, then you're going to start learning things about them. And for those who are not talking, you're going to learn some things about them too. You know, there's some people that are very outgoing, and then there's some, you know, extroverts, introverts. And you learn how to interact with those people. You know, the scriptures teach us to know those who labor among us. This has been something that I've really strived to do with other ministers, working with other ministers. And I've traveled to the other side of the world with people that are totally different than me. Their approach is different. Their thinking's different. And what you don't try to draw a battle line. What you do is look to see how I can work with this person. And then I have found that there's some people that I can't work with. Okay? And so the bottom line is, and I will tell you, if I can't work with you, I'm going to be nice about it. You understand? But I just, you know, we're not headed in the same direction. We don't share the same vision. So you do what God's laid on your heart and work with those who have that same vision. And see, this is the way it is with a church, a local church. If that thing has followed God like it's supposed to follow God, God has given the vision for that church. There's a purpose for that particular church being there. Okay? Now, if I start attending that church, then the first thing I need to do is learn what is the vision of this church. Then evaluate my vision. Will the thing that God's put in my heart match this vision of this church? If it will, then my vision will work in that vision. But if I'm thinking totally different, then I need to do them a favor, and me, by going somewhere else. Be with me? And I've actually, you know, in talking with some people, there was a particular couple I'm thinking of right now that were an older couple, actually, older than me. I was young back then. My ministry wasn't compatible to them. They wanted a preacher, I was a teacher. They wanted somebody that was real emotional, running from one side of the platform to the other and all this type thing. And, I mean, they told me. I mean, I'm not just pulling this stuff out of the air. They like life, you know. And I wasn't measuring up to the standard because, as you can tell, I can pretty much stand in one spot. And I really prayed about that thing. They asked to meet with me, and I really got before the Lord with that because I knew it was not going to be a good thing. I figured they was going to do what they were trying to do, nail my hide to the wall. But when we got in there, and they unloaded on me, that comes with the ministry. Don't think everybody's going to love you. Jesus said if they did it in a green tree, what will they do in a dry? If they rejected him and you're representing him, don't be surprised along the way if you get rejected. But did that bother him? Did it move him from purpose? Did he get a bad attitude? No. So I asked the Lord, I said, I really need direction on how to answer these people, know when to speak and when to remain silent, and what to say when I do speak. And after they got through and telling me what I should teach, and I told them, I said, I do the best of my ability to follow the Spirit of God and to present what God's given me. I said, I don't just sit in here and come up with stuff that I think I want to teach on, okay? And I said, I'm not going to change from that. And they had already threatened to leave the church before I said that, okay? I said, but I understand that my ministry is not compatible to everybody. I said, I understand that. And I don't have a problem with that. And if that's the case here, if you don't feel like that we're compatible, then don't leave the church mad. But let me pray with you and bless you before you leave. Did you get that last part? Why would I want to hold you there when you have a different vision? And I knew the Spirit of God. I wasn't that smart. God just brought that up on the inside of me. And you know, their whole attitude toward me changed. I prayed with them, and they left the church. And they would actually call me months after that. Several times I got called asking me to pray for them. And I did. I mean, I'm not going to hold a grudge against them. You understand? But what you do, if you hold that in there, then you're just holding contention in a church. And I'll promise you that it'll affect that church. It'll affect your services. When a person's sitting there and just resentment emanating from that person, it's actually a dangerous thing for a person to do that because they're affecting what God's wanting to do in that service. Or the minister can't be holding resentment against people in the pew either, you understand. And so this is what I mean about, is my vision compatible with the vision of the church. And, you know, there have been times that people want to change the vision. They want to go in a different direction. And actually, I had the Lord to speak to me one Sunday morning before I got to church. And he very sternly said, "Take the oversight." And I knew exactly what he was talking about, because I was laid back, trying not to create a problem, and then I was asking God how to deal with this situation. I wasn't naive to it. But here again, I don't believe in reacting. I believe in having a plan of action. And you don't do something, even if it's wrong, but get the mind of God before you deal with something. And so I did what the Lord told me to do. The person ended up leaving the church. But we're friends. You understand? If you let God do it, then it's not flesh fighting flesh. It's just the Spirit of God setting something in order. So, here again, we're talking about knowing. First off, know the vision. Know who you can work with and who you can't. You know, there's a lot of brick in this building. Some of them are on top of another. Some of them are side by side, end to end. Some of them are on one side of the building, some on the other side. Well, I can appreciate things other ministries are doing. That's not my forte. That's not what God's called me to do. If God's called you to do that, go for it. I'm not going to be jealous of you or talk about you because you're not doing what we're doing. I'm not going to be like John, Peter, John. Hey, they were casting out devils, and they weren't from our group, so we told them to stop. I see a lot of people have that idea. I believe they're in this city. I don't know what it is now, but back years ago, we had 130-some churches in this city. Yeah. But I believe that in this city, there are churches that really have a thrust. And some of them are doing things for God. You know, we have a pastor in the morning class. And he and I work right together. I love to fellowship with him. I'm not jealous of him. He doesn't appear to be jealous of me. We're not afraid somebody's going to steal somebody's sheep. I don't have any sheep. What a relief. They all belong to Jesus. So you can't steal any sheep from me. I don't have any. And so we have to learn, can we work side by side, or can we support one another as you do this, as I do this? Can we fellowship together, work together? Know who you can work with, and those where you have personality clashes, then associate from a distance. Just follow the Spirit of God. God's not going to put you like gas on fire with somebody. It doesn't work that way. But don't be surprised if he has you working with somebody with a different personality than yours, because you probably need it. They probably have strengths you don't. And on the other hand, you probably have strengths that they don't. And so rather than competing with one another, you help one another. I mean, that's the beauty of this. But if you start becoming jealous and get bad attitudes toward people, it's going to hinder the work of the Lord. So learn people. Learn how to approach people. I really try to do this if I'm visiting someone in the hospital. I really listen to the Spirit of God. And I'm unorthodox. I'm not like any... When I walk in the hospital, I'm probably not like any pastor you ever seen. I mean, I don't know what I'm going to do when I walk in anyway. But oftentimes, I don't even pray for the person. I've been praying for the person before I got there. And I mean, I've been praying for the person. Not saying a prayer, but praying for the person. And I just visited someone, and I didn't pray for that. I told him, I said, I've been praying for you. I said, I've been praying for you. I'm looking for a full recovery out of this. I want you to know that. And I think so often we can just make shows out of stuff. You just walk in, well, I'm a preacher, I'm supposed to pray. Well, are you praying in faith? If you're not, all you're doing is just going through some formality. But can I believe that what I say is going to come to pass? That's faith. You with me? So there's just, here again, there's just a lot of things that you have to learn to do. If I just say some formal prayer, I'm not doing that person, actually I'm doing the person an injustice. I'm not doing them a favor. I'm doing them an injustice because I'm deceiving them. Be honest with people. Talk with people. And I don't go in and try to look at their medical records. You with me? It's none of my business. If they want to share things with me, that's fine. I walked in the room, and when I walked in the room, the person said, how are you doing? I said, that's not the question. I'm here to find out how you do it. You know people. Listen to the Spirit of God. Know those who labor among you. How many of you who are married or been married, whatever, how many of you thought when you got married you knew the person? But after you've been married a few years, you start learning things about that person that you didn't know. I'm not going to go there. You get where I'm coming from? The more time you're spending with that person, the more you start learning about that person. You see strengths, you see weaknesses. Now, you choose whether you dwell on the strengths or the weaknesses. If you dwell on the weaknesses, you're probably going to split up. But if you look at the strengths and you start working through things and start making adjustments along the way, most everything can be worked out. You understand? I believe that most everything can be worked out. I believe people are, for the most part, salvageable. Now, every once in a while, you'll run across somebody that you can't do a thing with. I mean, Jesus ran across people. He couldn't do anything. Judas, what's he going to do with him? You understand where I'm coming from? Some people are just mean-spirited. They're full of the devil. And they don't want delivered. So what are you going to do? Now, don't wear yourself out. And you have to learn that. When you're dealing with people, there's people that you can help and there's people that you can't help. When you find out that you can't help them, don't just break bad on them and unload on them. You know, I've actually talked with people before, and after about the second or third time, I just say, look, I don't know anything else I can do to help you. Listen, if you're not applying the things that you've been told, how can I help you? That's like giving a person direction. Well, go up here and turn right. Nah, that's not right. I had somebody, I said, well, why are you asking me? If you know, why are you asking me? Okay. Just understand, pick your battles. What's important? What things have eternal values? Don't you ever compromise your eternal values. Never. But if it's a preference, prefer other people. It's like just going to eat. I could care less where we go to eat. Now, don't take me to some place go get me food poisoning or anything. But I'll find something. It doesn't matter to me. But I'm going to tell you what, there's been a lot of fights over food. I'll go, but I don't want to. You know that. No. Learn to prefer other people. Learn them. I know not to pull in the parking lot of a Chinese restaurant with Sherry. I know that. So, I don't take her to a Chinese restaurant. You understand? You learn people. What can people handle? It's just like in teaching. You know, when Jesus dealt with Peter, if you actually look at the Greek words and with love and where the King James Version translates sheep, you're going to find the same words not used all the time. One of them, he says, feed my lambs. One of them, he says, feed my sheep. The other one, he says, pasture my sheep. Okay? Well, in a congregation, you have people at different spiritual levels. Okay? And so, some, you may have to do some one-on-one. Well, I don't understand this. Well, what's wrong with you, dummy? No, that's not an approach. You with me? Didn't you hear what I said? No. The bottom line is, if you love that person, you really want that person to understand, so you work with that person. And I do. Learn them. What can they handle? What can't they handle? You know, when somebody asks you about something, you have to learn how to give a reply. Back in my smart aleck days, you know, there's no telling how much of my life I spent at a mall, and a lot of times carrying a kid in each arm before they had all these fancy little buggies, okay? And I just stand there, and she'd just looking. I mean, we didn't have any money, so she was just looking, you understand? And she pulled something off the rack, and she said, "What do you think about that?" Well, I said, "I think it's ugly as a train wreck." And, well, I like it. Well, so that's fine. You asked me what I thought. If you don't know what I thought, if you don't want to know what I think, then don't ask me. I don't care. I don't care if you like that. I don't care if you buy that. I don't care if you wear that. But you asked me what I thought. I'm not going to think any less of you. If you want to wear an ugly dress, wear it. Now... But you can get a major war going on with something like that. Now, I have learned. She said, "What do you think?" I've learned to say, "Well, something else would probably look better." Well, I've just made a statement. Well, I like it. Okay. I don't care. Mine, wear it. You understand? And I mean that. I don't mean that in a bad attitude, I don't care. I mean, if that's what you like, then go for it. If you like dull colors, wear dull colors. If you like bright colors, wear bright colors. I get laughed at. You know, I like bright colors. You understand? At one time, I had a pink coat. A pink sport coat. Pink sport coat. Yeah. And I had a friend of mine, he said, you know, he said, real men don't wear pink. I said, I'm secure in my manhood. You know what I'm saying? I don't, what other people think is not going to affect that. And I'm not going to get upset with them. So why should I get upset with other people? Now, we're really talking about just ethical approach and learning people and realizing everything doesn't have to be your way. And all of us have to learn that. Because we're all guilty, or have been somewhere along the way, of wanting things our way. Well, to a certain degree, I still like things my way, but it's not going to bother me if it doesn't work out that way. That's where I'm coming from. It's called preferring. It's called consideration. And then occasionally the thought will come through your head, well, why don't they ever consider me? Why don't they ever prefer me? Cast that down. Don't even go there. Don't even go there with that. Okay? So, learn those. So, for those of you who have taken personality tests, for the personality evaluation to work, you have to be honest. If you're not honest, you're just deceiving you. People are going to know what your personality is if they hang out with you. So you might as well fess up. I remember back years ago we were doing a little seminar thing and trying to help people locate their spiritual gifts. And I had come across this form that somebody had drawn up, and it was asked, and you know, you go through this thing like an evaluation of what you're good at doing, this. And there was one particular man, when he turned that thing in, he was all of the fivefold ministry. And everybody in the room but him knew that wasn't true. It's the fact of not being honest with yourself. Integrity starts with being honest with you. If I'm honest with me, I'll be honest with you. I worked for an employer one time, and actually I was a service manager at that time. And he said, I'd like to meet with you in my office. Yeah. What have I done wrong, right? So we went in the office, and he closed the door, and he sat down behind the desk, and he said, I have just one problem with you. I thought, well, that's good, just one, you know. But then I thought, well, what is it that I've done wrong? And he said, you're too honest. I said, I beg your pardon. He said, you're too honest. I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, if a customer comes in here and they have a bad spark plug wire, instead of putting a whole set of spark plug wires on, you just put one wire on. He said, I want you to put a whole set on. In other words, I want the service department generating revenue. And I said, well, and I called him by name. I said, just think about this. If I cheat the customer, I cheat you. It got quiet, and he dismissed me. Not from my job, but from the meeting. No. See, that's the thing about it. You treat others like you want to be treated. I'm not out to deceive people in ministry. I wasn't out to cheat or deceive people in mechanics. Now, the bottom line is, they would never know the difference. You know? people that don't know anything about a car, you can just say, well, it needed this, when it didn't. I've worked beside people and see them draw new parts out of the parts department, put them in their car or in their toolbox and charge the customer for it. Customer didn't know the difference. You understand? But you'll know the difference. Can you live with that? If you can live with that, then you need some help to where you get that conscience working according to the Word of God. And really, integrity is basically all about conscience. Getting your conscience trained to do what's right by God. If you do what's right by God, you'll do what's right by people. You don't even have to concern yourself with doing what's right by people. You can't do right by God and violate people. You'll have to violate God. God's wanting to take us to a place to where the body of Christ is operating in absolute integrity. Now, I want to ask you some questions here at the end. How do you want leadership to treat you? Then that's the way you should treat the leadership, with the same honor and respect that you want. Well, how should the leadership treat you? With the same honor and respect that the leadership would want. Right? It's called preferring. Doing to others as you want them to do to you. How should we fulfill our assignments? You know, Solomon, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, talking about whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. Do it with all your might. Do it the best you can do. So, if someone else asks you to do a job, do the best you can possibly do. If you won't do that for a person, you think God's going to entrust you with this spiritual thing? If you're sloppy with that, you'll be sloppy with His stuff. And God's not looking for sloppy people. He wants people of excellence. People with excellent spirit about them. People that fulfill their assignments, they're not trying to just get by. You with me? But they want to do it with excellence. There's something in me, and I haven't gotten there yet. And I'm going to tell you, from time to time, I just want to back in the corner and kick myself, you know. I strive for perfection. But I make mistakes. And I'm going to tell you what. I actually, at one time, just contemplated about quitting the ministry because of making mistakes. I mean, it's just the devil, you understand. Just making mistakes. I don't like to make mistakes. But you know what? Over the years, I've learned that I'm not perfect. And as hard as I try, from time to time, there's all types of evidence that reveals I'm not perfect. Like I can look at a study guide and find a mistake. And actually think that thing's been scrutinized and scrutinized and scrutinized, and then find the mistake. And I think, can I ever get it right? So there's a balance in all of it. You strive for perfection. Learn from your mistakes. Don't beat yourself up over them. Learn from them. Don't wallow in self-pity and all this type stuff. Don't let the devil take you down that road. Because if you start entertaining that, he'll put your chin on your chest in a hurry. You understand? So you have to deal with these things. Always remember, if you're going to do a job, do it right. But even in striving to do right, there may be a time that you make a mistake. Correct your mistake and go on. Learn from it. You understand? learn from it. Integrity is going to always do what's right. It'll always do what's right. Whether anybody's there or they're not there. You know, I've worked on salary and I've worked on commission. And a guy came to me one time, he said, I don't understand you. I said, why? He said, because your production's the same on salaries as it is on commission. Well, I said, shouldn't it be? Am I just going to fly through some things and be real sloppy and do haphazard work just to make money? Or am I accountable? You make yourself accountable. You understand? I'm accountable to God. I might as well make myself accountable to me. And I believe if you do like you're supposed to, you're going to do what you do with excellence, the best you know how. Conduct yourself in the same manner that Christ would conduct himself. Operate like he operates. And I'll promise you, Jesus operated with integrity. And he always displayed the proper conduct at all times. I believe that integrity in Christian ethics is really the mark of true discipleship. There's a lot of people following, but they're not disciplined enough to follow the character. They try to follow the person without following the character and the teachings of the person. It's one thing to follow the teachings, it's another thing to follow the character. You can teach what the Bible says and not live the Bible. God wants us to live it as well as proclaim it and explain it. Amen? Okay. Well, we're not going to get to the review, so we'll do...